The following message is copyrighted by Westminster Theological Seminary. Duplication, distribution, or other use of all or any part of this message is not permitted without prior written consent. Please direct your inquiries to communications@wts.edu. For all other information, please visit the main website at www.wts.edu.
Psalm of David, a song at the dedication of the temple. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his saints, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, and his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you made my mountains stand strong. You hid your face, and I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cry, and to the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned for me my mourning into dancing. You have loosed my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness, that my glory may sing your praise and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Let us pray. Lord, we praise you that, as we've expressed in the hymn, you have been merciful to us. You have forgiven us our sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. May we sing praises to you on the basis of your deliverance and continue to experience that deliverance for ourselves and for our brothers and sisters. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. What kind of trouble are you in? This psalm, it's a little difficult even to figure out exactly what the psalmist's problem is. In the first verse, the problem seems to be human foes that are around him. In the second verse, maybe it's sickness. In the third verse, it's death. And that's probably deliberate because whatever the details of the psalmist's experience, it's meant to be seen as relevant to you and me. And maybe your problem as you see it is nothing more severe than overwork or worry about grades. And doubtless such things are included as well, but in reading this psalm, I couldn't help think for years, ever since I've been teaching the seminar, I've been gradually working through the book of Psalms in these chapel expositions, and it shows how long it's taken. I'm only up to Psalm 30. This was the next psalm. But it seems providential because we have a striking number of people in the community who are suffering with serious sickness. We think of Professor Groves, but a number of people. Dr. Gaffin has had problems with his renal arteries, and I won't go into all the people. And we're getting emails on the staff and faculty level that are sent around with all these prayer requests. It's rather distressing. And I don't know what you as a student think of it all, but it's obvious on one level what the Bible counsels us to do, that it counsels us whether the problem is our own personal trouble that we are in or whether the trouble is the trouble of a friend or a brother. It counsels us to see God in your trouble and to find refuge in Him in your distress. But the difficulty that many people have found when they confront that advice and try to follow it is that many times, in many circumstances, it simply does not seem that the Lord is reliable. Sometimes He answers when we call to Him, and sometimes He doesn't seem to answer, at least not in the way that we would have liked Him to answer. And that confronts us also with the temptation, well, if He's not always going to do what we want Him to do, maybe we ought to take things in our own hands somehow. And maybe we ought to just bull our way through to make sure that it comes out the way we want it, rather than the way God in His mysterious will may want it, that frustrates us. And if you're honest with yourself, you can see the peeking out of the temptation to human autonomy. I don't like the way God is doing it, and I want to run my own life. So the psalm confronts you and me with a real challenge of whether we're going to be loyal to God when He's not doing things according to our speed, and He's not doing them our way. And we hope and we hope and we try to depend on God in our best moments. And then sometimes He disappoints us. He doesn't do it. He doesn't do it, particularly on schedule. Look at verse 5. For His anger is but for a moment, and His favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may tarry for the night, but joy comes with the morning. And that I would hope can give you at least a crack, a hint into the fact that God Himself knows about this frustration. He doesn't guarantee that joy is going to come now. It's going to come tomorrow morning for the psalmist, and he's going to weep all night before he gets there. And that's an expression, I believe, then, of the reality that God Himself, I mean, it's God who caused this psalm to be written, that God recognizes the human struggles that we're confronted with when He doesn't arrive on schedule. And this is not the only time when the psalmist cries out, "Where are you?" in effect. Why are you hiding yourself in my time of trouble? I'm not getting a solution. The really deepest problem, if you look at it in this psalm, is the last of the three problems. I mentioned the foes, I mentioned the sickness, but both of those, if they're taken to their extreme, the trouble is that they could lead to death. And even if they don't lead to death, you're going to meet death sometime or other. And the psalmist praises the Lord that the Lord has brought up my soul from Sheol. This is verse 3 now. He's brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who go down to the pit. And so he properly and understandably is now going to sing praises to the Lord, verse 4, and call on others to sing praises to Him and to give thanks to His holy name, because he's experienced the joy already, the joy of deliverance from death. How are you going to be delivered from death? And that leads, you see, directly into the issue of the resurrection of Christ. that Christ is alive forevermore. We don't know for sure whether Professor Groves is going to die soon. He's going to die later. Maybe he'll live until Christ comes a second time. We can hope for that. But we do know that there is one who is alive forevermore. And we know that Christ experienced opposition from his enemies in that crucial time in his life. That opposition came to an head in that they were out to crucify him. He was surrounded by foes, and he was physically devastated. There was physical suffering, analogous to the suffering of sickness that the psalmist may be talking about. And he went down to Sheol. He died. He experienced the devastation of these troubles heaped one after another on him. And the even greater devastation of not simply dying, but dying with the meaning of death laid on him, the meaning of death, of the punishment for sin. And God didn't deliver him. And his enemies taunted him for that. Come down from the cross if you're the Christ. He saved others. He cannot save himself. And weeping was there for the night for those who followed him. Weeping not only for the night, but for the next day. But you know where I'm going. Joy did come. Joy everlasting came with his resurrection. Those disciples waited, most of them in despair, during that time in which he was dead. And he himself waited in ways we don't understand for the resurrection to come. And now he is ascended and he is filled with joy and with life forevermore. But the challenge is that you may have to wait. You may have to wait one night. You may have to wait two nights. You may have to wait 10 years for joy to come. And in the end, you're going to have to wait your whole life. God gives us a foretaste of joy through the communion of the Holy Spirit, a foretaste of joy even now. But it may seem like a seed the size of the mustard seed if you're going through trouble. It may seem to even disappear. Wait. Wait for the morning, the real morning, the ultimate morning of the final resurrection. And call on God now as one who is reliable, even in the midst of the frustration that he doesn't always answer on our schedule, because he will answer in the new heaven and the new earth. Let us pray. Lord, would you give us the endurance of the Holy Spirit that we may wait as Christ waited, that we may wait for the joy of the resolution of our troubles, which you've already guaranteed in Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.